Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hello, Pastor Dave. How are you?
I'm doing really well. And yourself?
I can't complain.
Good. I have a question for you. How is your math skills? Let's give it a try.
Yeah.
How many pennies are in a dime?
10.
How many dimes are in a $1?
10.
How many $1 are in a $10 bill?
10.
How many $10 are in a 100?
10.
How many 100s are in a 1,000?
Same answer. 10.
How many millimeters are in a centimeter?
Oh, I'm terrible at millimeters. 100?
No, it's 10 again, I think.
Oh, 10.
10 is an interesting number, isn't it? It recurs. Oh, one last question. How many inches are in a foot?
12.
Yeah. You know, the English system isn't quite like the metric system where everything's based on 10. Did you know the number 10 is significant in the Bible as well? We're going to find today as we look at the 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt through the hand of Moses, a very fascinating and even more powerful fact about numbers and God's power.
We are reading in Exodus chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Moses,
"See, I have made you like God to the Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell the Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of the country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with the mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it."
The Lord said to Moses and Aaron,
"When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before the Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'"
So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw down his staff in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. You know, I can understand God using Aaron's staff and turning it into a snake. I mean, that's God's power of creation. But does this mean that the enemy has the power of creation too?
Very good question. I can tell you that they threw down their staffs and they became snakes just like Aaron's. I can't say any more than that. To draw that conclusion might not be the best idea, other than to say it happened, showing that God, the God of Moses, was a God to reckon with.
Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Go to the Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the water. Wait on the bank of the Nile to meet him, and take in your hand the staff that was changed into the snake. Then say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water.'"
Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed to blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts. And Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water of the river.
So this is the first of the 10 plagues. God, through the hand of Moses, turns the water of the Nile into blood.
When the Egyptians saw the blood, they may have concluded that the God of the Israelites had slain Hapi, that is, the God of the Nile, of life, and sustenance.
It's interesting. Moses, the giver of the law, turned water into blood. Jesus, the true giver of life, the gospel, he turns water into wine as he gave his own blood for us. We read verse 25 of chapter 7, but then flow right into chapter 8. With the next plague.
7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Go to the Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs.'"
Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt."
So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go and offer sacrifices to the Lord." Moses said to Pharaoh, "I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, so that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs except for those that remain in the Nile. Tomorrow, Pharaoh said. Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials and your people. They will remain only in the Nile. After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said.
Frogs. Lots of frogs. Little Nile frogs everywhere. This is the second plague on Egypt.
The Egyptian goddess Hekt was supposed to have been represented by a frog. And she was supposed to have been a helper to women in childbirth. So, the Egyptian magicians, why, if there were so many frogs on the land already, were they stupid enough to bring even more frogs onto the land?
Well, two things. First, it was to demonstrate that they had power too, equal to this Lord God of the Israelites. But even more than that, this plague was a demonstration of God's power not only to bring them, but take them away. And so Moses asked, and when do you want them away? And Pharaoh didn't say right away. He let a whole day go by just to see if they go away. And just as Pharaoh asked and Moses prayed, God took them away the next day. This was a demonstration of God's power, that he had the power to stop the plague just as much as bring the plague. Let's continue reading about the next plague in Exodus chapter 8.
Then the Lord said to Moses,
tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt the dust will become gnats.
They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats with their secret arts, they could not. And the gnats were on men and animals. The magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said.
gnats, tiny little small insects, little things that are hardly seen but make themselves known in a tremendous, painful way. This is the third plague on Egypt.
Gnats usually bred in the flooded fields of Egypt in late autumn. But this time, they came from the dust of the ground, the very dirt that Aaron struck. And they came and crept and into eyes and noses and stung painfully, causing skin irritation.
When the magicians of Egypt tried to replicate this miracle, they could not. And they admitted, therefore, to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. This is the creative hand of the one who creates. And they changed, instead of using the word Lord, specific God, they used Elohim, God Almighty. I find these first three plagues extremely fascinating for several reasons, Cecilia.
Oh?
We're going to find out as we look at the next plague that these three also were experienced by the children of Israel.
Right.
Where the last seven plagues were not. I think that's significant because God was letting the Israelites know two things. One, that they needed to suffer some as well because they weren't always faithful. They weren't always trusting. Let's face it, they got discouraged and kind of gave up on God a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so needed to be reminded of, number two, that God is in control. And then the second thing with these three, I mean, gnats. I'll be honest with you, today I have on three Band-Aids covering chigger bites. And I put on some antibiotic, and then I cover them with Band-Aids so my pants don't move and rub those chigger bites. They're miserable.
Yes, they are.
All over my body. That's what I think of with gnats.
Ugh.
Frogs, I like to hear them at night, but I wouldn't like them all over my house or anything. But then the first one I also think is significant, and I think the Israelites could have related to, because that's what God wanted them to do, was to go out in the desert and offer a sacrifice, which meant the spilling of blood. That's the difference between an Israelite and an Egyptian and how they worship God. Israelites saw the need for a sacrifice, the giving of a life, in order to appease the anger of God because of our sin. So they could have life, right. And so with that first plague, God was pointing to the Israelites, I'm going to bring an issue of blood that will free you from all your misery. And so we have that too. The blood of Jesus flowed from the cross, and that frees us for eternity to be with him. I think we're going to have to stop here today with the three plagues. We'll continue next week with the next four.
Oh, well, or however many we get into the show.
Yeah. But please do write us with any comments on these first three plagues or other
or any questions.
You can do so by writing us at
info at not-alone
not-alone.net. And I think that's spelled N-E-T.
It is.
Yeah. And remember,
we are not alone.
I will lead the blind by the ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.